is Bill Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
So I went down to Channel 5 this morning and did an interview with the morning news guys. Now, I've always felt it to be an insufferably boring event when you hear radio people talk about the TV interviews that they've done or the print media that they have that they've done. And I really don't have anything to report to you. Many of you saw it, and what you saw is what you saw. What I thought I would tell you, though, is the experience of getting up early and driving down there, and what do you see when you go to a TV station to do an interview? What does it look like? How does it feel? What are the feelings that course through my veins, and how does everybody else deal with it, you know? 5:30, alarm goes off. I bound out of bed. I tell my wife, don't worry, honey, you just stay there. I'm going to take a shower or whatever I got to do. So I got all dressed and, you know, as usual, my wife's putting on her makeup. And the very nice people from the TV station sent a limo. So there's a limo out there. And the guy is parked. Now, the dude, the driver of this limousine is really unusual for a limo driver. He's like, boy, it sure is a very fine day, isn't it? I used to hunt quail around here. Really, yeah, really gregarious guy, and then at one point he says, "Here, I got something for you." Here, threw a couple of bottles of water at us, you know, from the front seat, and we got in the thing. Now, I've said before, I don't like limousines, I'm not saying that because I'm trying to be an everyman. I really don't like them. They're uncomfortable. They're claustrophobic. They're dark. They're very uncomfortable to ride in. Very uncomfortable. And you can't get anything. You got to crawl on your hands and knees to go over and get a bottle of water or whatever. The TV sets and those things. You know, you've probably heard limos have television sets. They never, ever work. Never do they work. Never can you get a clear picture on these things. First of all, there ain't no cable in there. It's an over-the-air picture. And you're driving God knows where, and you're losing the signal or you're getting a stronger signal. And the TV, you know, the screen is about 3 inches across. Anyway, we drive down into Hollywood. And we pull into the lot, and they have the big security gate there. You can't get anywhere in the city of Los Angeles, in Hollywood, you can't get onto any of these lots, any of these movie or television lots, without an inordinate amount of security, with a camera pointed up every crevice and crack, trying to figure out whether you are Osama bin Laden. And after we got through there, then we go through the gate, and then the limo driver, you know, squeaks to a stop, and we get out, and there's a guy standing there with a door open, one of the Channel 5 people, great guy, I don't know his name, but he's a very courteous chap, and they lead us in, and you go in, and one thing you'll notice, TV and movie studios, they have these red lights, like spinning red lights. That means the studio is on the air. Don't go in there. They're rapping, right? So they took us down to the green room. Now, this is the most interesting part of my morning, other than meeting the very nice people who do the show, and having fun talking with them for the, 35 seconds they had me on the air. So I was there, and this was the most interesting part of the morning. I walk into the KTLA Channel 5 newsroom, or into the green room. The green room is where the guests sit, and there's a plaque on the wall. And it says, "This green room designed by Stroud's Furniture." And I'm looking around. You never seen anything like it before in your life. It was like French country. It was the weirdest thing. There were like little hutches that resembled old country ice boxes and rocking chairs and a coffee table that looked as if it was something used way back when. Maybe they had a chicken's neck stretched across it, and an old lady with an apron and a very maternal look on her face has a hatchet raised above her head as it is ready to come down and separate the chicken from the rest of his head or body or whichever, wherever the chicken envisions himself to be, in the head or the body, I don't know. I mean, it looked like something where one might slaughter an animal on. And then the couch was, I suppose, I got to be honest with you, and I don't mean anything, you know, I shouldn't have mentioned, because I'm sure they're very fine people, but when I first walked in there, it looked like those rumpus rooms that we used to have when we were in high school, that we would go out and find the furniture. Our parents would say, okay, you guys can have that room. Oh, cool, I found a furniture. Hey, I found a sofa on the freeway. It looked like one of those rooms, you know, they found the sofa on the freeway, and they found an old icebox in a junkyard, and they opened the door. There's a kid in there, you know, died 6 years earlier. Anyway, I'm not trying to demean. It was unusual. What was unusual about it was there was the plaque, proudly designed by the people at... And we watched the thing, and then they led me in, and I walked onto the set, and it's very uncomfortable, not through any fault of anybody there, but they've got you in a chair, and you're raised above this table, and there's a TV camera. They said, there's your camera there, Phil. Well, I wouldn't know which camera's mine, man. I'm not a television guy. And they have a teleprompter rolling on everything, telling the anchors what to say. A teleprompter is a thing. It's got all the words that the anchors say. Have you ever wondered how it is they say all that stuff to you? They're reading it right off what is the lens of the camera. So they're looking into the lens of the camera, but it's words that are scrolling. Hi, everybody. I'm Bill Jones. And coming up, Phil Hendry. What a nutcase. Because he'll say laugh in parentheses. What a nutcase. Ha, 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 ha. He is a guy, the man of many voices. He is a schizophrenic. It's like a puppet show. It's an orgy. It's a cacophony of sexual delight. Phil Hendry coming up next, right after we go up to traffic with Eddie. And it's all being scrolled by, right on the lens. And I'm stoned amazed that they can do it as beautifully as they do it, because they make it sound so natural, you know? They make it sound as if it's off the top of their head, don't they? It's all written down. And then they're rapping with me, and before you know it, the thing was over. I had 6 minutes. I sat in the green room there for 40, which I understand they needed to get me in there. Then they put me in makeup, and you go in, and what you try to do is give my face some colors. So I am so pale, man. I'm a Mick Irish, bleached, blanched-looking guy. So they try to put a little color in my face. And then they go in, and then they do the interview thing. But I don't know. And they rolled some B-roll. Did I look good? I don't know what I look good at. I think I look like hell on television. First of all, the left side of my face has this big crease running down it from a hand grenade scar. And then that knife fight that I was in 1975, and I just think I look like living hell on earth. But Craig said that he was getting hard, so no, I'm kidding. He didn't say that, really. Nikki did. No, I'm joking. Chris, your wife thought I looked nice? Nah, that's as good as it gets for me. Thanks, man. Marty, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil. Thanks for having me on.
How you doing?
I'm all right.
Good, man.
Just wanted to call and say you put on one hell of a show. I've been listening to you for over a year, and I look at you as the Charles Bukowski of radio. I don't know if you know who he was.
No, I don't. Neither does anybody else. Let's just move past that.
He wrote the screenplay for Barfly.
Yeah, that's another movie we've never heard of.
You've never heard of Barfly?
No. Name an actor that was in it.
Mickey Rourke.
Don't know him.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm joking. Of course, we know who Mickey Rourke is. We also know that Mickey's done a lot of movies that nobody ever heard of. But, no, really, Barfly, huh?
Well,
great.
You don't remind me of a Barfly. You remind me of the guy that wrote it. He wrote a bunch of short stories that were...
Do I look like him or do I sound like him?
Well, I've never seen you in person.
Okay.
But...
Well, thanks, pal.
Hey, it's a compliment.
So I remind you of a drunk old poet. That's a compliment.
Oh, you do know who he is.
Well, you say Barfly, I assume he drinks.
I think he had a few.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, brother.
Bye.
Jeez. I should have just kept right on with my story about Channel 5. So did I finish it up? So I did the thing, and then we split, and that's how it went. Then got into the car, and boom, out of here we went. Off the lot and gone. Nice guys. And I hope that you enjoyed it. Anyway, our number is 1-800-449-8686. It's the Phil Hendry Show. I promised to tell you about Las Vegas. I'm going to do that when we come back from our break right after this.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
I think one of the good things about our website is we posted video of the Fox TV news interview that was done. Look, it's not like I want to sit here and spend the rest of the show talking about all the TV shows that I've been on. But I just, as long as we were on the subject of television interviews, when you go to our website, I would think it's a valuable thing to see some of those things. Some people don't know what I look like. Maybe you don't understand what our show is about. And maybe if you could see some of these interviews that I've done, you'd understand a little bit better what our show, which is a very unique show, is about. And we used to have the Fox TV interview that was done by John Beard, which was very good, posted on our website. It's now gone. I don't know who took it down, but when I find out, I am going to lay them across that coffee table in the KTLA green room and do to them what Grandma did to that chicken oh so many years ago. With a strap on and a, I'm joking, Grandma, honey. Then what we'd like to do is take the Channel 5-1, put that on there. Put that together with the New York Times interview and the Radio Inc. magazine interview. Now you have a website that represents a guy who may have something to say or is at least moderately interesting to the listening public. I don't know. Now, speaking of things going on, Phil Hendry and his listeners are going to go to Las Vegas. You want to be a part of this? On February the 22nd through the 24th, we're going to be at the Las Vegas Hilton. And let me explain something about the Las Vegas Hilton right now. This is an old-school Vegas hotel. And what do I mean by that? I'm going to tell you right now what I mean by that. If you've never been to Las Vegas, the hotel experience in Las Vegas is the worst. Let me repeat that. The hotel experience in Las Vegas is the worst, unless you're dropping 40 G's a night on a craps table or on a blackjack table, unless you're what they call a high roller, which there's another word for that. It's called sucker. And unless you're one of those, the hotel experience in Vegas, by and large, is terrible, unless you're at the Las Vegas Hilton. The Las Vegas Hilton treats people very well. They also have some terrific terrific features there. There's the Star Trek experience at the Hilton. Now, I'm going to tell you about what we've got planned for you guys. We're going to start Friday, February 22nd. That evening, I'll be broadcasting live 7 to 10 Pacific time from the Hilton. We'll have free hors d'oeuvres and soft drinks. We'll have a cash bar set up in case you want to put a few back. Then on Saturday night, we're going to have a fantastic sit-down, three-course dinner that includes free soft drinks and dance to a great band. There will be a cash bar as well. Because when you say, and free soft drinks, it sort of just lays there like a wet fart, doesn't it? So you have to follow it up very quickly with cash bar. Here's what else. With this package, you'll also receive 3 days and two nights for two people, gambling match and play. What's that mean, gambling match and play? Okay, here's what it means. You know, you bet $10, you get $10. What does that mean? They give you the gambling so you can't lose? You bet $10, they give you $10. Oh, okay. So if I come with $300, they'll give me another $300. But I could lose it all. Okay. You bet it all on one thing, but they won't match your losses or anything. In any event, check that out. Plus two-for-one show tickets to see Sheena Easton, two free tickets to the Star Trek experience right there at the Hilton, a Park Place Entertainment coupon book valued at over $1,000. Two-for-one entry to the Las Vegas Hilton's luxurious spa and separate VIP check-in. I'm going to tell you, you don't know how valuable that is, man. You go to Vegas and you stand in a line waiting to get checked in for days. Days and days and days. Not if you're a Phil Hendry Show listener. I don't know any of these other radio shows that take you to Vegas and their chump change, second-rate Vegas trips. This is first class all the way. You go to the Vegas Hilton with us, you're going to get VIP check-in. God, is that worth it. Oh, are you with the Phil Hendry Show? Yes, I am. Oh, right over here, sir. We have your check-in. Oh, I'm with Morty. I'm with the Morty Brown Show. Well, you can go suck wind over here. For instance, are you with the Phil Hendry Show? Yes, I am. Well, you can have your VIP check-in over here. Who are you with? I'm with the Neil Rogers Show. Well, you can go sit in that sewer over there, and we'll just get to you when we get to you. See, that's the difference. All for just $379. You talk about highway robbery. You talk about a license to steal. You talk about just sticking a gun in the ribs and taking the money. $379 plus tax based on double occupancy. But anyway, so look, join me for the first ever Phil Hendry Show listening party. It's going to be the weekend of February 22nd to the 24th. It's going to be in Vegas at the Las Vegas Hilton. For reservations, write the number down. Let's get cracking, okay, Jim? 1-888-445-8844. 1-888-445-8844. That number again, 1-888-445-8844, and ask for the Phil Hendry package. You got to ask for the Phil Hendry package. Otherwise, you're going to be standing in line waiting for the concierge to go, "Did you want something?" "Yeah, I've just been here a couple of days. I wanted to know if you had show tickets. You know, I'm taking my lunch break." Otherwise, that's what you're going to have, but not at the Las Vegas Hilton, and not when you're with the Phil Hendry Show. God, I'd love to repeat some of this stuff, because it's phenomenal, man. I mean, that $1,000 worth of coupons. I mean, we're talking about the spa package. We're talking about tickets to see the show. We're talking about seeing our live broadcast for free. We're talking about having, you know, a little sit-down tete-a-tete, a little, you know, rubbing elbows with Phil on Saturday night. Cash bar, you know, the Star Trek thing rocks. The whole thing is just beautiful. Unfortunately, members of my staff will have to pay their own way there. But you guys, are you guys going to come? You know, we may have to have you, Chris, and Janice, because Craig's going to be there. He's got to engineer the show. I must just have you guys come with me, and maybe we can screen the show from Vegas. Is there any way we can route the calls up to Vegas? Do we do it through our Vegas affiliate, the very fine people at KXNT? We can't do it. We don't have to do that. We can do it right at the Hilton, because I think that would be the bomb. But the only problem is we are going to have a butterfly net ready for Janice, because the minute she starts hitting that cash bar and finds out that it is a cash bar and fists start flying, it is going to be ugly. 1-800-449-8686. Is that beautiful or what? That's going to be the 22nd through the 24th, the Las Vegas Hilton. Old school Vegas treatment. That's what you're going to get. None of this, "Hey, come on to Vegas, stand in a line 60 miles long, and the kids can go to New York, New York, and you can stand there with your thumb in your ass waiting for your chips." Let's go over to Brian. Brian, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil. How you doing?
Fine.
I'm calling. Last week I heard you talk about attitudes of athletes. I'm a golf pro at a country club, and I get them coming in my place all the time, expecting to play for free. They're in the Tampa area. We got the Yankees and the Phillies all spring training.
No kidding.
Yeah, they all come in there and they want the, you know, they got their heads barely fit through the door.
Well, maybe it's time you start charging these guys.
Well, you try to, but then they
the head of the club says, "Oh no, Mr.
Exactly.
Justice, he golfs for free." Really?
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're trying for tickets. You know?
Well, you should feel honored to be in the presence of a New York Yankee. You should feel so honored to be in the presence of a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. You know, if there wasn't such a thing as the NFL, Tampa Bay Buccaneer would sound like an illicit child porn ring. "Hi, we're members of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers." "Right, just put your hands on the wall. Move and I'll blow your heart out."
Well, one of them... you know, Shane Spencer came into our place and didn't have a driver.
He didn't have a driver as in driving his car or just the club?
No, just the club. He was missing a driver. So one of my guys in the back said, "Hey, I'll lend you mine. He just got a brand new $400 driver." He takes it out and uses it, puts a big dummy mark on the top of it, you know.
And hands it back and says, "Loved your driver, man."
Hands it back and says, "See you later." And my guy is sitting out there saying, "Did he just do what I think he did? Did I just take one up the, you know?"
When it comes to giving it to guys up the you know what, there's nothing like a Major League Baseball player.
Nothing like him at all.
I'll tell you what, these guys, first of all, who knows who raised them? See what I'm saying? In other words, they come out of some kind of a an environment whereby they get everything, and so as long as they're getting everything, they might as well start giving it to everybody else.
Exactly. They've been coddled since they were 10 years old.
Let's talk a little bit more about what scum they are, okay? Thanks for your call, Brian.
All right, man.
Thanks. That guy's a golf pro. God, it must be obnoxious. We have Mr. So-and-so from the Yankees and Mr. So. Can you give them? "No, I'm not gonna." "Well, then you're fired." Fine. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Katie Couric has signed a new deal with NBC that is worth, get a load of this, $628 billion. She'll be paid $5 billion a year for the next 30 years. Now, that extends well past a possible date for her death, but NBC said they would be proud to continue paying her even after she dies, because that's how good she is. Katie Couric is very interesting to me. She has an extremely innocent, and she has a very pretty, innocent, childlike look, and then there are times when she looks very authoritative and journalistic. But through it all, I'm never too far away from the realization that the road behind Katie Couric, that is the highway of her career, is strewn with the decomposing corpses and carcasses of agents, competing news anchors, competing news producers, competing news executives, all of them in varying stages of injury or death. That Katie Couric, as brilliant as she is, and as affable and as every woman as she is, and I think that's why she appeals to both men and women, is a very dangerous, dangerous woman. God, I would just love, just once. I don't want it to threaten her career. I don't want it to do anything bad. I just would like to see her come on the air one morning after a particularly difficult week, because we know she's had some difficult times. Loaded on cheap wine and Vicodin. Just,
yeah? Hi, I'm Katie Couric.
Katie, you have to get off the set. Don't touch me! Katie just threw her phone at me. And she just comes up behind Meredith Vieira and does one of those Dracula neck snaps. Just, you know, just as a quick, the head twist. You know, that thing like in The Line of Fire, that Clint Eastwood movie when John Malkovich just does that. Next thing, they wrestle her to the ground. Watching television in the morning is not healthy, man. For those of you who were up this morning to watch me on Channel 5, I thank you. But if you've got kids and you got a TV set on, yeah, that's a real smart move. All they do is sit there, bug-eyeing a TV. The blood, I mean, literally, they get up, they have no feeling in their ass because it's dead, man. The lack of circulation to their ass from sitting and watching the TV. Say, when you want to get up and make some breakfast or something? Time to go to school, food, move, go, man, go, baby. Nah, they don't get it. They don't recognize it. They don't speak English. Yeah, it's been so long since any real functioning blood got up to the brain, the English language, oh, God, they got to re-recognize it. Okay, 1-800-449-8686, the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. And we'll go to a phone call now. This is Sam. Sam, how you doing?
Yeah, pretty good, Phil. Love
good.
Your show, man.
Thank you.
I'm taking a mass communications graduate seminar, and we're talking about talk radio hosts.
Yeah.
And we're talking about the durability of different hosts. And my professor, who's a dope, said that once people, he guessed, and we said, no way. He guessed that most of your listenership are people who are just passing by on the station for the first time, that people wouldn't stay with the show longer. We said, we do. There are about six of us who are
What school do you go to, Sam?
This is University of Oregon.
Now, he's a mass communications teacher.
Yeah.
Okay, so taking communications in college is your first mistake, but as long as you're there doing that, he doesn't understand what a lot of people in this business don't understand, the difference between a caller and a listener.
So what is it that they don't get?
Well, they've never done any real study of the medium. They just think that radio is one of those mediums that nobody has any respect for anyway. So people think they can do a cursory view of it and they got it all figured out. Callers are not listeners. You, Sam, you're a broadcast major. You ain't typical of the people that listen to this show. The people that listen to my show they never call, and they're driving like bottled water trucks, or they're coming home from their doctor's appointment, or their mother's soccer moms, all kinds of people. Professors in radio are the guys who couldn't jive in the biz. These are the guys that, you know, maybe they lasted a year as a sales exec, and they got blown out of the gig, they got caught with the general manager's wife at the Christmas party, and there were more Xeroxes and more bare asses in this guy's briefcase. So now he's teaching school, and he's got fresh young faces staring at him going, tell us more, tell us Thomas More, and with a pipe in his face and the Sherlock Holmes hat on, that kind of little peaked hat, then he passes out from just a little too much Wild Rose. That's the kind of guy we're talking about. And what was your question?
A lot of people, though, even after they get what you're doing, who stay with it and continue to listen.
Yes, of course they do. That's the whole point of the Phil Hendry Show. Thanks. The whole point of our show is that the more that people know what's going on, the more they dig it. Should we take any more of these calls from people who think I'm so great? Or does anybody have any comment on the highway of Katie Couric's career being strewn with decomposing carcasses of news executives? Nothing? Oh, okay. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. I almost want to give that phone number for the Las Vegas package out. That's more interesting. This is going to be a party. Just go to Pete. Pete, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello?
Yeah, Phil.
Hi.
I fly regularly, and I was thinking of your little friend Bobby the other day who does the security luggage checks. And I was going through the checkpoint, and the guy said, "I gotta check your luggage." And when he said it and pulled my luggage, I started to laugh, thinking of your little guy Bobby.
You mean the guy that the gentleman that was hiring the mentally deficient to man the screening apparatus?
Absolutely. And this was one of them, obviously. And I started to laugh. Well, he didn't know what I was laughing at, so he called his supervisor over, thinking that I may have had something a little suspicious in my luggage. Obviously, I couldn't tell this little moron that I was laughing at him, thinking of the little Bobby skit that you do. And the supervisor questioned me a couple of times, "Is there something funny about what we're doing?" And I said, no, I think you're doing the right thing. It's something that I had heard, and it just kind of brought the light to it.
That is a riot. So, in other words, the guy says, "I got to check your luggage." You start laughing because you were thinking of Bobby.
Absolutely.
And now the guy thinks you're suspicious, and you may be a member of Al-Qaeda.
And I look a little suspicious with the beard and the dark skin, and, I may look a little suspicious. And he kept saying,
the swarthy complexion?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And he says, "Is there something I should know about in here?" And I said, no, absolutely not. There's nothing. I mean, be my guest. It's just a briefcase. But I could not stop laughing, and obviously I couldn't tell the supervisor that.
And the supervisor came over and said, "What are you laughing at?"
Yeah, he wanted to know what I was laughing at. And I said, it's just something that I had heard, and I said, it has nothing to do with anything that we're doing here today.
Because you couldn't very well come out and say, "Look, the guy reminds me of this bit that I heard about retards."
Oh, no, absolutely.
Yeah, you couldn't do that. Yeah, couldn't do that. Otherwise,
I couldn't say, because the guy, I mean, if...
What if the guy would have come out?
That was Bobby. Excuse
what if the me? Guy? What if the guy would have come out with, "Plane go boom"?
I probably would have pissed myself.
Yeah, then it would have been all over, man. You'd be in jail.
But I just thought it was so great I had the call, because this guy is real and he's in Phoenix, Arizona.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks. So there you go. Well, ugly. I'm far be it for me. The people that man our security stations there at the airports. Hey, look, man. I was talking to my wife the other night. We were discussing life before 9/11, life after 9/11. And there is no way before September the 11th, there's no way on earth that you would have gotten anybody in Congress the least bit interested in doing a massive overhaul of the security apparatus of the federally supervised airports of the United States. There's no way. Why? It would have been useless expenditure of money. It would have been, what's the point? Well, look at how porous a lot of our... Well, I understand. You might have gotten a congressman here or there interested. You see, here's something that we don't want to admit to ourselves. It's nothing that I like to talk about, but I suppose it's a silver lining of sorts. September the 11th, man, had to happen for all of this other stuff to get done. It had to happen. There was no way that anybody anywhere in this country was going to get the least bit interested in monitoring the mail, figuring out what was safe or not safe at airports, taking a look again at how porous our screening was and how possibly vulnerable we were to box cutters and what else? Like guys with student visas and razor blades. There was no way. It would have been the subject of a book that somebody wrote. It would have been a late night, overnight talk show. It would have been some guy. And right now we have Larry Johnson. Larry, what's the book about? Well, I think that people could hijack a plane with box cutters. Isn't that interesting? We'll be right back. It would have been like a Tom Clancy book. Box cutters. Go ahead, tell me about this. I got to hear. This is a good one. How do they do it? Well, they could have gotten on the plane and using the box cutters, cut the throats of the airline. Well, are you kidding me? Do I look like an idiot? Let's take some phone calls.
Yeah, Eddie, where'd you get this asshole, man? What a moron.
Anyway, look, at my listeners, they don't believe it. Well, I'm just saying that box cutters could do it. They could fly a plane fully loaded with fuel into a building. All right, let's just say that they come on with the box cutters, okay? The people could jump them because they don't have any guns. Well, the people would be frightened and intimidated. Americans? Frightened? Intimidated? You communist. Second of the call. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, buddy.
I got to get out of here, you know. Yeah, get out of here, you bum. Anyway, that's the way it would have sounded. That's the way it September the 11th had to happen. And if you look at it in that context, then things start to make a very perverse sense, but they make sense nonetheless. Nonetheless, things, unfortunately, don't get done unless we have bad stuff happening before. So, now we make all of our jokes about those screening people. I mean, everything that you ever felt when you went through a screening station at an airport, it suddenly, you know, means something. I mean, I remember having tried. I would put my bags on the belt, and I would, you know, I figured they knew what they were doing. I figured they knew what they were doing. And nobody has said anything to me since to convince me that they don't know what they're doing. The guys that took those planes didn't do anything. They didn't carry anything on the plane illegal. There was nothing that those people operating those screening stations missed. I mean, if you're really honest with yourself, as easy as it is for us to make fun of those people, and we do it a lot on this show, especially with the Bobby Pants Go Brown bit, fact is, wasn't their fault. They didn't do anything wrong. Those guys didn't take those planes with guns or bombs. Those people that screened those bags did their jobs. And then the next day, I'll never forget, well, how come they got on board with box cutters? Oh, all of a sudden you're worried about box cutters? When did you start worrying about box cutters? Well, When? 6 months ago I talked to my... Oh, bull. Talked to your husband 6 months ago about it? You never worried about box cutters on planes. Well, yes, I did. No, you didn't. Now, be honest. Well, I would have. You would have what?
Had I known they could use...
Yeah, had you known. But you didn't know. You fruit. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Now, Phil Hendry.
Lord of the Rings did $18 million yesterday on 5,700 screens at 3,359 theaters in the United States. Lord of the Rings, the movie based upon the J.R.R. Tolkien trilogy, The Hobbit, and all that jazz. You know, all the Two Towers, Return of the King, all that stuff. This is the sort of the adult Harry Potter this year. And I hear it's violent, and I hear it's really cool. Keep your kids at home, okay? Can we just have adults go into this one? Can we just sit there stoned for a change and watch our movie? Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Joel, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Listen, I just wanted to let you know a couple of quick things. First of all, I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
And I don't, I'm normally not out this late, but I was at my office pretty late. And I was coming home, and I really got a kick out of what you were saying to that gentleman about who listens to you and how they don't call in. And I said, you know, I got to call him just for that comment. But I think you have a great show.
Most people don't. I mean, the listeners are not callers, and that's the point I was making
right.
to him. And that's something that his communications professor didn't know up there at the University of Oregon. Thanks for your call. Here's David. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi there, Phil. Hey,
hi, David.
I had something I wanted to say about your comment about Katie Couric and why she got such a big contract. Anyway, Katie Couric got that contract for one reason only, because her husband died of cancer, and that's it.
Oh, no. Nobody throws their money away like that, man. No network. If anybody knows what they're doing with their money, it's television networks and movie studios.
Well, that's why she's so popular right now.
I mean, they might be throwing their money away, but they're fully aware that they're doing it. But you're saying that they're giving her...
They're doing it.
They gave her $20 million a year because they feel sorry for her? Not a chance.
They don't feel sorry for her, but the American public feels sorry for her. That the American public loves her now because she's...
They've always loved her. She's always been very strong on that show.
Oh, but you got to admit that since her husband died, that she's been extremely
Extremely focused. I mean, people, the attention has been focused on her because of the death of her husband and her sister. But that's the kind of attention we focus on celebrities at odd times because of events in their lives. It's the ongoing fascination that we have with them. Doesn't have anything to do with her getting, you know, that has nothing to do with her getting the big money. But nice try. Here is Fred on the Phil Hendry Show. Fred?
Hey, Phil, Katie Kulelick bites the big one.
Brilliant.
I'd rather listen to Bryant Gumbel.
No, I wouldn't. Bryant Gumbel, I don't like black people. Here is Phil. I said that just to blow that jackass in West Palm Beach off the, you know, they're fun. Here's Phil. Hi, Phil, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, how you doing? This is
good.
Phil.
Yeah.
Hey, Ali North, he's the new correspondent in Afghanistan for GOP TV, Fox News. What I think is incredible about it is that when these soldiers were 4 and 5, he sold 4,500 TOW rockets to the Muslim terrorists in Iran.
Yes.
Of course, they don't know that.
Well, they might be using some of those still, since a lot of their stuff is pretty old.
Yeah. But I'm sure he's not putting his arm around them at the chow table and say, hey, guys, I know these guys. Did you know I sold 4,500 TOW rockets to these wackos?
No. Ollie, he's over there along with Geraldo?
Yeah.
God, what if they shoot each other or something? I bet you they're both packing, there's no doubt. Doesn't Geraldo have a gun?
Probably.
And you know that Colonel North, I'm sure, is not going to go, he's not going to venture abroad without arming himself?
Well, he's probably got a flak jacket on.
But you're right, he did do the deal with the Iranians, yeah. And I'm sure some of that stuff made it over the border. And the next thing you know, boy, what poetic justice if Ollie North got his ass blown off the camel by some of the very rockets that he sold those guys in the first place.
But the kicker is all these Marines and Army who admire him and are thinking he's such a cool dude, if they knew that he turned around, that he secretly sold these guys American weapons that might ultimately come back and kill us, I don't think they'd want
to... Nobody believed it after it happened. In fact, after it happened, they still wanted Oliver North to be president or vice president or a national news anchor. I forget what it was they wanted to do. They wanted to canonize him in some way. In the only way that Americans know how, I think we wanted to have his picture right there next to Orville Redenbacher's. Yeah, so right after it happened. But those are... Who wants to talk about that, right? Hey, you know what? Kennedy, the CIA shot him. It's a rumor. Some guy said he saw a puff of smoke from a grassy knoll. 1-800-449-8686. Stick around. We're going to tell you more about Vegas and our webcast tomorrow.